This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. A couple of things to talk about, including Melania Trump and her parents and their immigration lawyer. How about Omarosa secretly taping the White House chief of staff as she was being let go? And then there's the guy who stole the plane and stunned everybody who worked at Horizon Airlines in Seattle and ultimately crashed the plane. Very, very sad story. Let's talk about that for a second, because it was so unusual when it happened. I was getting alerts on my phone, and somebody said, oh, my gosh, somebody stole a plane at the airport. And I thought, oh, no, this is – what are we thinking when that happens, right? You don't know any of the details. But it was an airline employee who stole an empty plane. He eventually crashed it into an island near SeaTac Airport, and the family's heartbroken. He was married. He was a guy who was well-liked at the airport. He had a nickname, Bebo. He's 29, and he was dressed for work. He was at work, and he decided to jump into the cockpit of a Horizon Airlines Bombardier Q400 plane, took off for an hour-long joyride, and then crashed into Ketron Island, which is about 30 miles south of Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. I know we have listeners in Washington, and you're familiar with it. I've gone through there many, many times, and it ended up, his crash ended up setting off a large forest fire, by the way, and they say he was suicidal, and that's the only reason they could give. They, you know, he was a guy who moved bags, he pulled planes in, and they say he was a quiet guy, but he was well-liked by workers, and, you know, they, the workers even said they feel very badly for his family, because, again, he was well-liked, and, you know, he wrote on a blog, because they're trying to figure out more about him, he wrote on a blog that he met his wife in Oregon when they were both going to school. They owned a bakery shop, and then they settled down in a place called Sumner, Washington, a couple of years ago, and that's when he got his job at Horizon Air. And they also said that he liked his job because it allowed him to travel back and forth to Alaska, where his family was, to see his family. So, crazy story, sad story, and somebody who was troubled who ultimately did that. But that's not what people were thinking when that story first came out. It was frightening. All right, let's go to the comings and goings of the White House. Omarosa made the rounds of the Sunday swirl, what I like to call the political talking heads. Why? She's got a new book out, and her new book is all about, you know, working at the White House. Her book is called Unhinged. She was on NBC's Meet the Press. She talked about having a recording of the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, to protect herself. She, Meet the Press, aired parts of the taped conversation and included Kelly speaking to her about her reputation and some serious integrity violations against her. He said on tape, and you could hear this, if we make this a friendly departure, we can all look back at your time in the White House as a year of service to the nation without any difficulty in the future relative to your reputation. So what Omarosa said, that she told the host, Chuck Todd, that Kelly was actually trying to threaten her into silence, and that's what that was about. You always have to have controversy when you sell a book, so taping that was probably smart on her part. In the book, she talks about things in the White House. In the book, she talks about things that were threatening at the White House. She talks about things that were talked about, things that she calls ugly and awful, and things that were talked about in a lot of different directions. She said in her book that she heard people describe Trump using the racial slur, although she said she had not personally heard it. She told Chuck Todd that she was able to hear the tape for herself after her book published. She said, I heard his voice as clear as you and I are sitting here. And, you know, talked about things that were said. She said that, you know, he's deceiving the nation, etc. So the Apprentice alum was certainly one of the more prominent faces of Trump's White House, working on outreach to historically black colleges and universities and whatnot in the military justice system too, as well. And we'll see when Unhinged comes out, but sure to turn some heads because, as I mentioned before, it is all about what, you know, it's all about controversy because controversy sells books. I have a book out called Deal Your Own Destiny. You can pre-order a copy of it for the next couple of weeks. I'm giving you that and a free copy of my tip book, by the way. If you go to katedelaneyspeaker.com, you'll see it there. Just click on that, katedelaneyspeaker.com. I only have 500, and then we go into regular sales after that, but I wanted to give people a chance to get it first. So there you go. I didn't tape anyone in mine, by the way. I didn't tape anyone at the White House or any of that kind of stuff. So there you go. All right, so let's move along, and let's talk about something else. I mentioned that, you know, there was Melania Trump's situation with her parents and her lawyer saying he didn't agree with the policies, with the immigration policies that were happening. And the lawyer said he was going to go on a couple of shows and talk about it. I guess in particular he was at CNN talking about the, you know, the reuniting of families and what does it mean for the visas and, you know, look at what Melania's family has happening and that her parents use chain migration that the president says brings truly evil people to the country. So the lawyer is saying that he's, you know, sidestepping kind of some of the comments, but there's no question that Melania Trump's parents obtained U.S. citizenship through that chain migration. It's an immigration program, if you're not familiar with it, that allows U.S. citizens to sponsor immediate family members for legal residency. And Donald Trump has repeatedly said he wants to end that. So Michael Wiles, the lawyer for the First Lady's parents, wouldn't comment with reporters outside the Javits Federal Building in New York if asked if the Slovenian couple had become American citizens that morning using chain migration, but then later told the New York Times and others that, yes, I suppose. He said it's a dirtier word. It stands for the bedrock of our immigration process when it comes down to family reunification. And Wilde said Melania Trump sponsored her parents so they could be granted green cards and that then applied for citizenship when they were eligible. So, you know, the president has repeatedly denounced and called for the termination of this process that his in-laws used to become citizens. So this is making big news, chain migration. And the lawyer said that Melania Trump was aware that he was going to be asked about that, and they were fine with it. What, you know, what's he going to say? He's going to say what he thinks, and, you know, ultimately, that's the bottom line. And then quickly, demonstrators all over the place in Washington D.C. It filled with demonstrators, and it was about white nationalists, and then it was about the counterparts of the white nationalists. The group is called Unite the Right Too. And it was billed as a white civil rights rally, but then there were so many others that were balking against that. And so you just had massive signs all over the place, shame and screaming and all that kind of stuff. But in the afternoon in Foggy Bottom, police cleared it up and it was peaceful. That's the good news.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
I get the beat, the air, the thing, the money on all, the money in cash, and beautiful flows. I stay at the corner, she is a lady, and I love the tune.
Excited to welcome to the show Ron Dieselmeyer. He's in our virtual green room right now. You're going to love the title of his book. You ready for this? Sex. It's sex. I'm serious. And the subtitle would be Baddest Sin or Goodest Pleasure. Ron, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So in your book, I love it. I love the title because it's provocative, but it's really an interesting book. And I know you had a clear purpose for writing this book. Talk about where you saw the need and what got you thinking about, I need to do this book.
Well, it's kind of evolved over a period of years. Just different thoughts would come to my mind going way back 50 years or more ago, and about sexuality and how that so many people misinterpret what the real purpose of sexuality is. But what brought me to the point of writing this book now, because I never had any intention of being an author, my wife and I do short-term mission trips to different countries, and 3 years ago we were in Guatemala and El Salvador, and we visited 3 orphanages where they take these children that have been recaptured after being sold into the sex slave business, and we met some of these children, and we talked to the directors of these orphanages, and they said that these children will never be normal sexually. And after saying that, it just ripped my heart out. You know, we're talking about kids that are as young as 4 years of age and then up into the low teens. And so after the time we had in El Salvador, we went back to Guatemala, and I locked myself in a room for almost a week and started writing, and that's how this book came about.
Wow. And so when you locked yourself in a room and you started writing, did the ideas just flow out?
Yeah, a lot of it just started to come out, you know, and then one thing would lead to another, and then it started to fall into place. And that's why when you look at the titles of the books and how that they follow one after another, it's just sort of one fell into place, and then the next one, and the next one, and a good share of the book is about all the problems related to sex when it's done outside of the plan of the Creator.
Yeah, and we should tell everyone, Ron, and we're speaking with Ron Wieselmeyer, of course, the author is a minister / counselor, and you heard that a little bit in that story, and you help people find fulfillment, am I right, in their sexuality?
That's correct.
And do you find that because we put so much attachment to this word with so many different ways that for some people it becomes shameful or negative, you know, even in a marriage situation, people just don't really know how to deal with it?
That's correct. There's two major themes to our sexuality. And the first one is procreation. And I think most people understand that. God planned it so that when a man and a woman come together intimately, the purpose is to bear children. And that's why most people still choose marriage to this day, even though less and less people are going that direction. And so that's the first one. The second one I call recreation, meaning that sex is something to be enjoyed and experience the real genuine fulfillment, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible makes it clear that in marriage, the bed is undefiled. In other words, there's nothing wrong with being close and nude with each other. In fact, when people are that way, life becomes more fulfilling than almost anything else we can do. When people are fulfilled, when they go off to work in the morning, they look forward to coming home in the evening. If they're not fulfilled in their relationship with their spouse, often they try to figure out ways to avoid coming home. Maybe they go to the bar or try to kill some time before they go home. But when if it's done according to God's plan, we get excited about getting home to our spouse.
And so I love that close and nude. So of all the people that you must have great stories of all the people that you've counseled, it has to be rewarding to you when you see a couple or you see a person who's struggling with this really understand it, and it has to open up their life. And you said it, I think, in other ways, right?
That's correct, and you're right. Life is so much more fulfilling if we're doing it according to the plan of the Creator.
Yeah, and in doing, and obviously knowing biblically what you're talking about, and doing the research that you did, and obviously pointing to that too as well. Do you think it's, because you've done this for a while, do you think it's worse now than it's ever been, or do you think people are understanding that, or no, it's just the same struggle?
Well, I think for the most part it's worse. Some people will argue, no, it's just that it's coming to the fore more than in the past. But people have a way of following the lead. And when you have people that are unfulfilled and they're seeking for answers in life, and they may be undercover for a long time and experiencing a lot of depression and anxiety and guilt and those kinds of things, but now, because of people that have made a name for themselves, they're celebrities, whether it's in a leadership role and politically or religiously or in sports, whatever, if that person is saying, hey, I think I found an answer here, other people say, well, let's give it a shot because we're empty too.
Oh, yeah. I understand what you're saying. There's no question about it. And we're speaking with Ron Bieselmeyer, and again, the name of the book is called Sex, Baddest Sin, or Goodest Pleasure. What's been the reaction to the book?
Most people say, hey, man, I never thought of it like this before. And just a couple of weeks ago, one person who purchased a copy of the book called me and he said, you know, I was reading that one chapter on celebrity sex, and he said, I thought I was reading today's newspaper. And yet I wrote that part of about, I don't know, 3 years ago, and I never thought of it that way. But when he said that, all you have to do is pay attention to the news, and you know what's going on in Washington, what's going on in Hollywood, and different states where they're pushing for new ideas about how they can be fulfilled sexually. It's one of the terms that I use in the book, which is I say that we're a lot like lemmings. We follow the leader, and we go downhill very fast and furious.
Yeah, there you go. And that's an interesting term, absolutely, to use it that way. And I said the subtitle, Baddest Sin or Goodest Pleasure. What do you mean by baddest sin?
Well, that's kind of interesting how that came about. You know, in the Bible, in the first few chapters, we're talking about creation. And then when it got to the last day of the week, God created, after creating animals in the sky and birds and all these other things, at the end of each day, he said, and it was good. He created man, he said, it was very good. So I said, well, that sounds like goodest, the opposite of goodest. That was just bad or evil, so I just use the term goodest and baddest.
Yeah, I like that, goodest and baddest, because it definitely conjures up images, that's for sure. When I mentioned this before, when you work with people in your work and you talk to them about how they feel about their sexuality and marriages and family and society, what is there one common thread that you get back in the beginning of counseling somebody about sexual intimacy that may help all the people that are listening and are going to want to go buy your book?
Boy, that's a one common thread. That's a good question, because there's every situation is so different. But I'd have to say that the one common thread is that people's lives are such that they're suicidal. They're mm-hmm. trying to find answers. They're just empty, and they're trying to find something that will fill that vacuum.
Right, and so that's the reason.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Former CIA Director John Brennan says President Trump is abusing his power by stripping away Brennan's security clearance. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders read a statement calling Brennan's conduct erratic.
Mr. Brennan has recently leveraged his status as a former high-ranking official with access to highly sensitive information to make a series of unfounded and outrageous allegations, wild outbursts on the internet and television about this administration.
Democrats like Mark Warner on the Senate Intelligence Committee wonder what might come next.
I worry whether this precedent is going to somehow lead to the president trying to take away Mueller and his whole team's security clearances. To have either their clearances revoked or in the process of being revoked, to me, smacks of Nixonian-type practices.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, I'm always excited to talk about small business, so it's perfect that in our virtual green room we have Sharon Miller. She is the Bank of America's head of small business, and it's pretty exciting because they just came out with the small business survey, the Bank of America survey, and they do this, I guess, every year. They've been doing it since 2012, and they have some interesting results that I think are going to be fun to share with people, and also to talk about small business in general, and especially with somebody who does it for the Bank of America. So, Sharon, thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what did you find out that was, I guess, eye-popping to you, if I could use that term, in this latest go-around with this Bank of America survey?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. That's a great question. And we do this survey every 6 months, and we found in this latest survey and the results that were just released that the confidence in the economy by small business owners is at the highest level we have seen in the past 5 years. So when you think about the outlook, whether their business is going to grow, revenues increase, all of the different elements that we think about when talking about small business owners and their businesses, confidence is at its highest level in the past 5 years and actually jumped 21% since our last survey.
You've been looking at this kind of data now for 5 years, as you said, and you're doing these surveys every 6 months. When you see that kind of jump, because, I mean, look, that's the kind of jump we all want to see, are you also able to drill into the data to get a sense of why that confidence is increasing at such a rapid rate?
We do. I mean, obviously, it's a passion of ours. We want to understand how business owners are thinking, what is happening in the economy. And I think, first of all, local economies matter. And so what's happening in our local economies, that's where small business owners operate. That's how we operate as a company across 90 local markets in the United States. And when we asked, do you think the local economy is going to improve over the next 12 months? That went up to 50% of our small business owners said, yes, I think it's going to improve. That's up from 37% just 6 months ago. So that was a significant jump. Same with the national economy, up from 31% that it was going to improve to over 50%. So both the local and national economy data points and the outlook of small business owners, they felt more optimistic. Now, I'll tell you, we're behind the election now, so the election is over. Anytime leading into an election, we do see uncertainty, no matter, you know, who is coming into office. And once that ends, we see people being able to move forward with confidence in their business.
Yeah, and when we talk about these small businesses, what I think is fascinating is now with technology and massive innovation, there are all kinds of small businesses. So when Bank of America looks to put out the survey, puts it out, I mean, you're really talking about from A to Z nowadays, aren't you?
We are. So we like to understand first sort of the confidence. You know, how are you feeling? What is the tone in the economy? Second, then we talk about, are you going to take a loan out? Do you plan to expand your business? So just before we go into how they're feeling about innovation and technology, when asked about taking a loan out to expand their business, that was about flat from 6 months ago. So although we saw confidence improving, people saying, yes, we're going to move forward, the national economy and my local economy is getting better, there's still a bit of a wait-and-see attitude out there. So that's one thing. When I look at my own data at Bank of America, we are up significantly on lending and putting out capital into our local communities for businesses to grow. So that would tell me that we are active in local communities, although the national outlook is about flat. When you think about, you know, innovation and certainly robots in the future, or am I going to be in a virtual office, those are all things that people are thinking about. I mean, look, times have changed. We are in a different environment today than we were just 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I can't even imagine what the future will look like. It's so exciting for small business owners, the opportunities out there.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Sharon. We're talking with Sharon Miller. She's Bank of America's head of small business. You mentioned now several times how important the local view is. And one of the things I want to ask you as we're talking about this small business survey is, what kinds of things should small business owners be thinking about getting from their banks other than just having a checking account? I mean, there must be services that you make available to small businesses that a lot of small business owners don't even know about.
That's right. I mean, we have in the United States, there are 29 million small business owners. They are truly the growth engine of our U.S. economy, and especially in the local market. So first step, there's varying size of businesses. Of the 29 million, 20 million of them have revenues less than 5 million. So they're, you know, generally getting started. The remaining 9 million, that's up to 50 million in revenues. So there's a wide range of what we consider a small business in the United States. When getting started, it is so important that you consult with an advisor. And so you may need to understand how to structure credit, how to be established in your business so that you can have access to capital. Many business owners, when just getting started, in fact, in our last survey, we asked, how are you getting started? Well, it's pretty intuitive, either from your own personal savings, from friends and family, from credit cards. But as you get established, there's other means to access capital, and that's where you need a partner, a banker, an advisor to say, you know, here's the things you need to think about so that you can have access to invest back into your business. So that's one thing. Two, you do need an operating account, but you may have the business where you accept payments through credit cards, so a merchant services. You may need savings. So different types of vehicles that a banker and a trusted advisor can help you with, it's always important. You know your business, right? You're an expert in what you do. So leave the financial and that acumen to an expert that can help advise you on the best way to structure it.
Sharon, I talk about the power of knowing your wow. How do you clearly, confidently, concisely describe what you do, being able to pitch? And I think a lot of times people are nervous when they go in for loans because they think of, you know, years ago how you would have to have brick and mortar and you would have to have so much information that you'd be able to present to the bank. I think, frankly, some people get scared off by that. There is power in asking questions, and I think that's what you're saying, that why not come in and why not be afraid because the landscape has changed and be able to ask those questions, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why we have specialists, so small business specialists throughout the United States that are able to sit down with you face to face to look at your business because everyone starts somewhere. And so that is important to have a partner that can help look at what you're doing, how you're trying to achieve your goals, and then match the right solutions with that. So that's one thing. Two, I mean, online, I mean, there's so much information out there, almost too much. It's information overload. So I like to investigate online, and we find a lot of our clients do the same. We have a lot of resources and tools available for people that just want to look and say, you know, what do I need to do? So pieces and information. But I think it's always good, you know, do your homework, look online, or however you access information, but then get a partner that can help sort through it with you, because not everything is relevant to every business. And so that's where we customize advice and guidance for that small business owner.
I want to ask you a question that might seem a little different to you, but you are the head of small business for Bank of America, and Bank of America is a very big bank. Yet we're talking about small business. So in that position, as head of small business, what does a typical workday look like for you?
Well, I meet with a lot of clients. I travel around the country. I spend a lot of time in our local markets, understanding how our clients are feeling, how our bankers are interacting with our clients, and making sure that we are providing access to information, to capital, to our clients. And really, I want to make sure that we are the best and the first choice for small business owners across the country to come to. And so that means me being in the field with our bankers, with our clients, understanding their needs, and being able to help them every time we can.
Yeah, and you talk about being in the field. That's interesting. So for you, that means, have flats, will travel, and you probably find yourself in some pretty interesting spots, I would assume. I have to ask you this question. What's the most interesting small business that you saw, you know, firsthand, that you listened to how they operated and you just said, wow, this is an incredibly interesting, innovative business here?
You know, I every day is interesting. I have to tell you, especially when I get to, you know, meet with clients. I love hearing business owners' stories about how they got started, what is their passion, how it came to be. So, you know, we see a lot of clients, and I think there's a need for businesses, especially in the technology space. Whether you are a direct technology company or you're providing technology advice and guidance to people. That's one thing. You know, so you see that. Then you go to a farm in California that is, a safari where they're taking clients through to watch the beautiful views and the winery. So, I mean, they run the gamut, and that's what makes, you know, working with these types of clients so great, and that's what makes, you know, America great. I mean, you have a dream, you have a vision, and you put it into the right format with a market that has demand for it, you can achieve anything.
Sharon Miller, interesting stuff. She is the head of small business, Bank of America. In fact, so interesting, we're going to do another Forbes segment with her coming up tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dylan Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dylan bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dylan bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dylan bottle today at BYLN.co. That's BYLN.co.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
I had a dream last night. It almost turned me white. I dreamt that Indian roosters strode on trees. I dreamt I found a great big branch on every hand tree branch. The eggs was
dead. Well, how about it? Believe it or not, thousands of Americans are demanding animal cruelty laws be enforced over what? Sadistic ritual chicken sacrifice ceremonies. Did you think that was just a rumor? Guess what? They really go on. It's ultra-orthodox, as they call it, and they're slaughtering tens of thousands of chickens. So the Alliance to End Chickens as Capros say as many as, and I hope I'm saying that right, say as many as 60,000 chickens suffer for days in pack crates, yikes, with no food, water, or protection from weather extremes before being sliced and then discarded in the street. And so it becomes like this open-air slaughterhouse, which we know is not good for anyone. And just a few years ago, this was a big big deal, if you remember, in New York City. So who better to join us than Jill Carnegie? She is a lifelong animal advocate who began engaging in activism at 8 years old. I love that. Fighting for animals who can't fight for themselves, right? And rainforest preservation and so much more. And, of course, this is now something that she's dealing with, too. Jill, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So explain, first of all, explain what this sacrifice thing is. I don't even know if I said it right. Caparis?
Well, there are several pronunciations. We tend to stick to the pronunciation of caporos, but you might hear others refer to it as caparos or caporos. So you'll hear several incarnations depending on who you speak with, but we tend to just say caporos. So essentially, this is an ritual.
Yes, I was going to ask you. So for Kapoorus, that's what it is, right? It's an atonement thing.
Exactly. It's performed by certain segments of the Jewish community in the days leading up to Yom Kippur. And the majority of people who do practice this ritual use money. So in that case, they would take a pouch of coins or bills and swing it three times around the head of the person receiving the atonement. And then that money would be donated to charity. However, in the case of chicken kaporos, instead of money, they use live chickens, and then those chickens are slaughtered and, in theory, given to the hungry. In the case of New York City chicken kaporos, though, it just is nothing like the original intention. These chickens are babies. They're purchased from factory farms. They're only 5 to 6 weeks old, and they suffer for days with no food or water in the streets of Brooklyn, Queens, and the Lower East Side of Manhattan before the rituals, and they're slung cruelly by the wings, which breaks bones and ligaments, and then they're slaughtered in these open-air pop-up slaughterhouses in residential neighborhoods, putting the public at great health risk. And this is illegal, by the way. And then while some of the chickens are then dressed for human consumption, which does open up a whole other can of worms as far as health code violations, the majority of them appear to be thrown out in the garbage, placing an undue burden on New York City sanitation workers. So in the case of New York City kaporos, we're talking about well over 15 laws, rules, and regulations being violated every year, including, as you mentioned, animal cruelty laws, and over a half dozen health codes as well. So it's pretty horrific.
So some of these people who are doing that, are they getting caught?
Well, it seems that the city is turning a blind eye. You see, the Orthodox community in general represents in New York City a tremendous voting bloc. They turn out to the tune of 90% all voting for the same candidate. And so you can understand that elected officials, city agencies, they are not very motivated to upset these communities. And we're seeing that come to light now, even with the education commissioner coming under fire because the children in these communities are not receiving secular education. In the case of chicken kaporos, we have the commissioner of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Mary Bassett, who continues to turn a blind eye, prioritizing politics over public health. And it's really just appalling to see a city that's supposed to be as progressive as New York allowing this to happen. And because of the mass transit system in this city, they're not only putting the health of some of the residents of the poorest neighborhoods in the five boroughs at risk. You know, according to a toxicology report that has gone undisputed, this puts the entire city at risk because this excrement, this blood, these feces, can be tracked into the subway system. I mean, this is really an epidemic just waiting to happen.
Boy, no kidding. And so, obviously, coming on shows like this one, and we're heard in the New York, New Jersey tri-state area, it's about getting the word out, isn't it, to let more people know about Kapoorus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, even a lot of Jewish people in New York City don't know that this is happening. While it is huge, I mean, we're talking over 60,000 chickens every single year in New York City streets. Of course, in a city like New York, it's very easy for something to be happening on the next block and you might not realize it. Although in the case of chicken caparros, you can certainly hear and smell it for several blocks around. The poor chickens scream throughout the entire ritual. It's really awful. But yes, we want to raise awareness and we encourage those in the area to let their voice be heard, that particularly that the commissioner of the Department of Health, Dr. Mary Bassett, really needs to put public health first and do her job and enforce the laws that are already on the books.
No kidding. So if you're, if you win this battle over caporus, what would it, what kind of ramifications would it be nationwide?
Well, it really does set a precedent because, well, for one thing, this is not practiced only in New York. We do know for a fact that it is practiced in New Jersey. It's also practiced in Southern California and Miami, and very likely many other areas of the country as well. Additionally, Israel is banning the slaughter of chickens in city streets for caporos, city by city. And so as that continues to happen in Israel, that may end up triggering more of a resurgence of the tradition here in the States. So there are possible ramifications if this continues to go uninterrupted in New York City, being that we are home to the second largest Orthodox community in the world. So it's really crucial that we set the tone and that we say that it's not right to compromise the welfare and well-being of sentient animals, and it's not right for one community to be able to break various laws with impunity while other communities are held to a standard to protect public health and safety.
Yeah. If Jill, if somebody wants to know more about this, where can they find out more?
Well, there are several places you can turn at the moment. The place I would turn most people to would be social media. We love Facebook, and that would be under the Alliance to End Chickens as Caporos. I know it's a bit long. We spell Caporos K-A-P as in pizza, O-R-O-S. You can also look at theirturn.net for some of the recent pressure campaign footage about referring to the commissioner of the Department of Health. And then lastly, for our website, we would love for you to visit endchickensascaporos.com. Again, that's K-A-P-O-R-O-S. And we definitely need to get the word out. So please do share our videos on social media. And please do reach out to the commissioner of the Department of Health, Mary Bassett, and inform her that it is her duty to protect public health and take this out of city streets.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy hearing this. And
it is.
Jill, thanks so much. It's awful. It's scary. But just, I mean, even your description of it, it just freaks me out. So, Jill Carnegie, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. We appreciate it.
And again, as Jill mentioned, there are places to go to find out about caporus if you've never heard of it. And here's the key thing. So if this is was a Jewish ritual, in Israel they're stopping it, right? And I cannot imagine hearing that horrific noise and then finding out that what's going on with these chickens. And it's a really an open-air slaughterhouse right down the street from you. Woo! Nasty stuff. Again, End Chicken Caporus.com. Back in a flash here on America Tonight.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code RADIO at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.